What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Coaches to the Moon. Surprise, surprise. Today, we're talking about the coaching business and how to make yours better. And my guest, Jen Joe from Jen Joe Coaching, is here to do exactly that. Now, how exactly is Jen going to help us out today? Well, this is a topic that's very close to my heart because Jen helps people to run their coaching businesses, grow them, whether they're working full-time or full-time in their coaching business without spending their entire life on social media, DMing people, making content every single day, the way we have all been taught to. Jen has created a method, a system that will allow you to get those clients, to get to the income you want, to the lifestyle design that you want, without needing to give your entire life to your iPhone and your DM inbox. And I really, truly appreciate that because not enough people are talking about how that is indeed possible. We are sold the grind day to day, the hustle, the Gary V work until your eyes bleed. God bless him. He's amazing. But it's not realistic for so many people to spend their entire lives pitching and outbound DMing. But Jen has a method that brings warm clients to you. It is low cost, it is simple, and it sounds like her clients are getting incredible results. She's here today to share that message with us. So I cannot wait to have you hear this conversation. She's such a joy to speak to. Really, really energetic, lovely, authentic, and I had a great time. I hope you like it too. Here she is, Jen Joe on Coaches to the Moon.
This is Coaches to the Moon, the only podcast you need to skyrocket your coaching business and create true impact on the world. Here's your host, Alex Morris.
Welcome back to the Coaches to the Moon podcast, ladies and gentlemen. So wonderful to have you here. We are traveling to a country I believe we've only visited one time before on the show before, Mexico, where we have our incredible guest, Jen Joe from Jen Joe Coaching, who is here to talk to us about how coaches can make an impact without spending their entire lives on social media, and how do we create that lifestyle freedom that so many of us get into the business for, but so few of us actually achieve. We've already had a great little chat, and I cannot wait to dig into it. Jen Joe, straight out of the Yucatan, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
It's honestly my first show in a while, to be honest. We were just away on a little family holiday, and previously before that, we had a couple of guests cancel, and I think it's my first show in maybe 3 weeks, so great to kind of re-break the ice, and so I'm hopefully not too rusty for you.
No, you're great. The last show I heard was perfect, so I'm sure this will be really good too.
Oh, incredible.
Yeah.
Perfect. Goodness gracious. What a standard to live up to. But I will give a quick apology to the guests watching. I've already apologized to Jen for my extremely disheveled appearance. I have a haircut in 2 hours from now, and thus my beard and hair are all over the place. That is why we're in a hat and doing my very best. Jen, as always, looks impeccable.
Thank you.
Let's get into it. You're in the Yucatan in Mexico, firstly. You moved from Houston, Texas, to Mexico about a year ago. What was that all about? How was the move for you?
So I'm originally from New York, and I moved to Houston 9 years prior. And I was just looking for a change, lifestyle change, pace change, quality of life change. And after 9 years of being in Houston, having much success, getting a house, the car, the dog, normal people things that are hard to have in New York, I was ready to move even further south and try living outside of the country. I always wanted to do it. I had plans. I had a one-way ticket to do it back in 2019, but of course we know what happened, and those plans were canceled. So I was going to go to Colombia at that time. Unfortunately, I didn't make it to Colombia until 2021, and I spent 3 months traveling abroad. So I did Colombia, Panama, and Mexico, and eventually settled that my heart liked being in Mexico. And while I didn't know where in Mexico I was ultimately going to be, because the places I tried were a little too touristy or a little too busy, I knew my heart wanted to be here. So I went back and went on YouTube and searched, what are YouTubers talking about? Where are the expats living? Where can I find people like myself but not have it be too touristy? And Mérida came up, and it just kept coming up. And I was like, well, I guess we're going to Mérida. So I packed up my car, sold all my things, got my dog, and we drove down here. It took me about 4 days to get down here.
Mm-hmm.
driving from Houston to Mexico.
Oh, wow. What a journey. That sounds fantastic. And looking through your socials, it looks like a really cool life down there. And you seem to be absolutely walking the talk of creating that lifestyle freedom, but not spending all day every day on social media as well, which is something I'd love to talk about. Because just for some context, you've mentioned that you work with sort of introverted coaches, helping them to not have to be in the DMs all the time, and you've got posts on your socials, ironically, about how to promote yourself without socials. I'm a social media marketer, so it's a very, very cool concept. And a lot of coaches, I think, get into this business because they're sold the idea of you do a few phone calls a week, you make high ticket sales, you're on your laptop in a pool for some reason, and that's the life. But then they find themselves, suddenly they're a marketer and they're constantly in DMs, or they're trying to run Facebook ads with some sleazy marketing company like us. And and they're suddenly just constantly in the trenches of marketing, and it's not what they expected.
Yeah.
So when was it that you realized this was a sort of a gap that needed to be filled in the market?
I realized it was when I filled it for myself first, because I am an introvert, like I said. Even if you look at my social media numbers are very small. They're very low. Nothing that you would think would mean that I live this lifestyle of being fully employed, self-employed as a coach, living abroad and traveling and doing all the things that you think you need to have hundreds, thousands of followers for. Like, my numbers are very, very small. That's not how I was able to reach people. And as a coach, I just kept on seeing all this marketing about being on social media and having this presence and having to show up all the time, multiple times a day. And I'm like, I can't do that. I was in the field of education. I was a teacher, trainer, and school leader. And I'm like, I work a lot. I don't have time to be creating content all day and then hoping that I do enough for them to see it 16, 20, 30 times before they actually get to book a call with me and then convert them into a client. I needed a faster way. And after years of struggling to figure this thing out, trying to do it the way other people do it, I found my way. And it was only because my brother asked me, how did you find your coach? Because I had worked with a coach years prior before becoming one myself. I was like, oh, I found her online. Like, I literally Googled, where do you find coaches or how to find a coach? And it led me to this website. And that was a coach directory website where there's thousands of coaches worldwide listed. And I just told them, hey, this is what I'm looking for. Or I searched and they're looking for someone in my area or whatever specifications I needed at the time. And I was presented with a few options. And from there, I interviewed her and one other person. And then I decided and worked with her for several months. And when it was time for me to get out there, I was like, oh, I guess I could also go on that same site and have people find me in that same way. And it was the game changer. It was the one thing that allowed me to not have to spend all day marketing, putting a lot of effort, having to learn the skill of copywriting, which I didn't have, right? So there's just like a lot of other things that needed to be in place for me to be able to make social media work. And now I didn't have to do that. I could literally go and put myself on the site, have people find me, or pitch to certain people that I thought I would be good to help. And all of a sudden, I was just closing clients. But that's also because I had a really good sales process that I had learned and I had honed, and I believed in the coaching that I was doing. I felt very confident in the coaching aspect. It was just the marketing I wasn't that strong in. So I was happy to be on this site. They took a percentage now. You got to keep that in mind. They're taking part of your money. So some people don't like it, and I totally understand. But for me, as someone who was very short on time and lacking certain skills to be able to make other things work, this was a perfect solution in the beginning.
100%. I love it. And lots to unpack there. Sales process honed in. We'll have to lock that down so we can talk about it later. I dropped my pen, so I'll get my pen again so we can write that down as in sales process, because that's one of the areas as a marketer for coaches. We never struggle to get leads for most people, but it's when it gets to the sales where it gets tricky. But the directory thing's very interesting. And from what I kind of have noticed in coaching, marketing of coaches, is that most people in the world are not actively looking for a coach yet. Personal trainers, maybe, that sort of thing. Physiotherapists, regular therapists, all this sort of thing. Coaching still hasn't quite broken through yet, so you've got to find a very aware style of person. And what I imagine that means for you being on the directory is that you're only getting pretty warm, engaged leads. Whereas with social media, you've got the volume, but maybe people who aren't quite ready yet, you've got to have a much longer process. The journey from getting them to download your ebook to paying client is much longer. Yes. But the volume's there. So how's that journey been for you? Did you ever actively market on social media? Did you ever have that experience?
Yeah, I did. I had a Facebook group. I still have the Facebook group. And I'm there now. And I'm really doing a lot more on LinkedIn nowadays. And that's really working for me, for my style of like just yep. the way that I show up. But it is a much like you have to nurture people a lot more. You have to make them aware that this is even a thing, an option for them. It's very different versus going somewhere where someone's already looking for the thing you do, right? Like I don't have to spend weeks, months nurturing, putting content out there, letting them get to know me, building that trust. It's like, no, you have a problem. I have a solution. Do you want to work with me to solve your problem? It's way more direct in that way, which was perfect for me because honestly, I just didn't enjoy social media. Like I have some of my clients and they actually enjoy it and they do great with it. And I tell them, lean all the way in, go ahead, have fun with it. But a lot of introverts, we're just like, that's not my thing. I don't want to be seen. I don't want to show up on camera all the time. I feel awkward telling people that this is what I'm doing. If it's very different than what I was doing, I worry about my colleagues seeing me, that all that comes into play when you're just starting out as a coach. So how perfect is it where you can still be working through all of that mind drama and all that resistance and all those icky feelings, and you could still be signing clients and making money and serving people the way that you want to. So that was like the perfect thing for me in the beginning.
I love it. What does the word introvert mean to you? Because I noticed that I'm ignorant to this topic because I find myself, you know, maybe semi-extroverted, but I think of an introvert as someone who doesn't have the capacity to present like you do right now. You're obviously very confident on podcasts and I've seen you been on a bunch of shows. So talk to me about that.
Yeah. So that's the common misconception. People think that when you're an introvert, you're like shy, right? Like you're very reserved in that way. And you don't like to interact with people. You're like shying away from that. Like I could go on a stage and I can speak in front of a lot of people, but that to me is just draining. Right? The interactions with a lot of people, it just drains me versus someone who's extroverted. They get energized in those type of settings. I'm the type of person like podcasting and being on podcast with someone is perfect because I like going deep. I like that one-to-one relationship. I like to give you all of my attention, right? And that to me is super fun to be able to do that. So I will always be someone that finds ways to market in a way that feels in alignment to me. And doing podcasts is perfect for that. And the same is true for my clients. They're not necessarily shy, right? But they don't want to go to a networking event. That is just like, that sounds torturous to us. It's like, oh my God, all the small talk, right? All the small talk and navigating all that awkwardness. Like, we just rather not. Yes, we can do it, but it's going to take a lot out of us. And I tell you, every time I do something socially, I need several days to recover from it after. Like, I just need to be home with my dog. Like, leave me alone. Like, I'll engage when I'm ready, but right now I need a break. So that's what it's really about. It's just about how you gain energy.
Totally. Great explanation. I think that sounds very similar to my wife who, will go to an event and then she's cooked the next day. Kind of like hungover without drinking just from constant small talk. I think it's very contextual for me. A networking event, I couldn't think of anything worse. I've been to about 6 of them and get pitched all the time. Hey, do you want to meet up for a coffee? Like, I don't want to, bro. But not because I don't like people or you. That just sounds like a waste of time for me. But I love the podcast. If I could do one job forever, I would just do this full time. So it's really interesting, the introvert, extrovert thing. And okay, fantastic. So moving on from that one, the extrovert introvert thing, now that we've cleared up that it's not a shyness factor, I'd love to talk about the sales process because that you mentioned before.
Yeah.
Because once again, misconception of the salesman, fast talking, you know, infomercial, talking about the scrub daddy and the sham wow and all that kind of stuff. right. You know, super charming. Not that you're not super charming, but it's just, once again, if you said, what makes a great salesperson? Energy, extroverted. Now let's talk about yourself, because you said you have a very, very honed in sales process. I'd love to talk about that one and whether or not you have engineered it for what you're good at.
Yes. And that is a big one, right? Because again, myself and my clients, like, we are people of integrity. We want to make sure that we're serving our clients well. We want to make sure that if they do invest in us, we get them the results. And we never want to feel like we're convincing someone to buy into something if they're not interested. And I think that's where a lot of coaches go wrong, because they think selling is convincing the other person. And I tell my coaches, no, selling is serving. When you are serving them and telling them exactly how you would help them with that problem that they told you they had, you can solve that problem for them. You can help them move through it. That is the best service you could provide them. It's way more valuable than just one free call that you're doing. It's truly helping them solve the thing at the core, so they no longer struggle with that. And I take that into my sales process, because I'm thinking of, how can I best serve them? Of course, I'm going to fight for them and help them see how this can help them. But ultimately, I'm also going to believe that they have full power over making an informed decision. I just want to make sure that they have all the information so that they can make that decision. That's my role.
Very, very interesting. And I find what you just said there, of course, you want to fight for someone and show them how this is helpful for them. There's an arm of that, but there's also an arm of, if you fight a little too hard, maybe you convince someone, you bring them over the line, but that's not going to be a great client as well. It's very seldom someone who's been almost enthusiastically pushed into a sale that they're a pleasure to work with.
And I just had that conversation with a client. I said, you have to fight with full belief of what you can offer them and communicate that with your conviction. Like, let that be enough that you truly believe you can help them and you will show up to help them. But at some point you have to release the attachment and believe that they can make a decision. Because if you're just fighting for them more than they want it, they might sign up. But then that's going to be a very difficult client, because you're going to have to fight for them every single week to show up to the call. You're going to have to fight for them to do the work. Right? Like, they're not invested. You're more invested than they are. That's always a bad position to be in. So go in there and fight for it, knowing that you can help and you have the solution and you want to serve them well by helping them get the full solution to their problem, not just the symptom on this call, but like the full problem that you know is sitting there that they're dealing with. And the best way to do that is ongoing coaching, but also be okay and trusting that if that person's not ready right now, that's okay. They can come back when they are. And there's somebody else that is ready right now.
That last bit you just said is so important for so many coaches, right? It's a very, coaches talk a lot about abundance, but then they're very, very scarce in their mindset sometimes, thinking, I've got to get this sale. And I have 100% been in that position as well. Just, I got really good at emotional selling and just like, having my weight loss programs back in the day, I had women crying on the phone about what would happen if they didn't do this. So it's like, are you going to step up, Deborah? Yeah, and then they're like, yes. And then I get a deposit on the phone. And the next day I wake up to the text message, Alex, I can't do it. And I got so used to handling that one. Whereas it shouldn't have even been a factor. I shouldn't have even had the next day freak out, the buyer's remorse. What would be more helpful would be follow the abundant mindset of coaches, knowing that there are a million people out there to work with. And as a coach, you don't need a million clients. You need like 17.
Yeah.
And you're set.
Like, I help my clients see that too. Yeah. Like, how many really do you actually have space for? Especially if you're working full time. When I was working full time, I only had space for 10 clients. I'm like, that's all I really needed is 10 people at a time. That's all I could serve. So I can definitely find 10 people that would be interested, and I want the best 10 people.
And how incredible is 10 people paying you $1,000 to $2,000 a month, if not more, on top of a job that is just bonkers numbers that people don't understand how simple that can be.
And that's what really fueled me to believe that I could do this full time, because I had the 10 clients. I was only working 10 hours max. Right? Because it's not even like I had 10 clients throughout the entire year that year. But it fueled such a belief of, oh my gosh, this is possible. I'm making full-time income on just these part-time hours. For sure, I can go full-time in this business and continue to grow it. And then that's what I did. I quit my job, 2020, decided, moved abroad, did all this. And I'm living that lifestyle that I always knew was possible because I was able to create this for myself and stick it out and find a way to serve people and market to them in a way that worked for me.
Well, I couldn't be more thrilled for you, Jen. And why do you believe, why do you think it is that when you break it down, it is very, very simple, not easy, very simple to get to a six-figure income from coaching, not in profits, but six-figure revenue in coaching. What do you think the gap is that in your working with kind of what it sounds like sort of greener coaches, not fully established coaches, what do you think is the gap between people starting their business and actually just hitting those so elusive $10,000 a month numbers? Why do they stop?
They focused too much time and energy on the wrong task in the beginning. And they kept pouring into those tasks to avoid feeling the discomfort of doing the things that actually move you forward to paying clients. And I'll give you an example. They want to work on the websites. They want a logo. They want brand colors. They want the perfect curated Instagram feed. They want to make sure that they have the perfect niche. And you can be a niche drama for years. And I know because I was there spinning around like, who do I serve? What do I do? I don't know how to talk about it until you finally just decide this is who I'm going to go after right now. And it can change. The difference is when I support my coaches now, I'm like, we're not going to do that. Where we're going to do very little of it, and it's going to be over the course of one weekend, one day, we're done. Those things are set, and we're moving on to the things that actually bring in clients, which is talking to people, making more offers, right? Serving them, telling them you can help them. Simple things. Well, I said because a lot of times they're focusing on the wrong things, right? They're working on getting the website, yeah, the brand colors, the social media feed to be just right, deciding on what their new Instagram handle should be or starting new accounts. All the things, creating resources for clients they don't have versus just actually being out there and talking, yeah, to people and offering their services, telling someone, I can help you with that. This is what I do. Do you want to work with me? Right. Mm.
Yes, I love that. It's actually very funny because I have saved on my screen right now something I kept wanting to come back to, which is quite an incendiary Instagram post from you saying coaches fail at making money because they are doing fake work, which has been put quite provocatively.
Yes.
When you say it like that. And you basically just said the caption of that post there, which is so, so good. The other thing that you see people doing is like they're on the internet and they're scrolling through this business that doesn't really exist yet. And then they see ad for, oh, no. Coaching is dead. Do affiliate marketing. It's like, oh, no. Webinars are dead. The only way to do it is start a freaking Discord community or whatever. And it's just shiny thing. Where, like, and it's so simple to do because I do that too. I have a folder of things now that I have put the idea down and then developed and then left it because too many times, and I'm sure you're culpable in this area too, Jen, as this entrepreneurial mindset, you kind of just jump on that shiny object syndrome.
Yes.
What sort of things, let's talk about that. Is there any time you've kind of distracted yourself on purpose with sort of a new shiny project that has just taken away from your main goals?
I won't say it was a new shiny project. I think I spent too much time on things that didn't matter. And then going back to things, okay, that weren't necessarily working for me rather than jumping ship and learning the new skill that I needed to make it work better.
Okay. So what sort of things so we can get, yeah, some experience?
So I'll say the social media thing, just harping on it for myself rather than leaning into the thing that fully worked. Or the latest, this I just got coached on, so this is very real. Going back and using the directory strategy, even though I know the price point that I'm at now is beyond what some of those directories are, like the people on the directories are willing to pay. And I already decided with my coach, we have a new strategy, podcast. right? But I'm like, oh, I haven't pitched a podcast in a while, right? And I'm like, well, why not? You decided on this strategy, just like stick to the strategy that you decided and implement it. Wanting to, this is another one, or wanting to create my program and before it was ready, right? Like wanting to dive into that, and I had to be told, no, hold on. You're doing what the clients like to do. You don't need to do all that. You're still here, right? Now, of course, I do have that program and stuff and everything, but just being at the stage where it's actually necessary rather than like wanting to get ahead of it and jumping the gun because I see other people doing these things, being okay with this is where you are. This is what's needed for this stage of where you are. You will get to the next thing and you will have those things when it's time.
Yes, the program one is very interesting. We often get the marketing objection of, yes, I want to do some marketing, but I'm not going to do it until February when my program's finished.
Yes.
And it's like, I get it. But firstly, like marketing, the second you start marketing, it's not going to be clients in the program overnight. So that's one thing. Secondly, when they start, they're at the very beginning of the program, so you've kind of only got to be a week ahead. And then thirdly, this is a mistake I made in my first coaching business, is if you're doing that, you're designing a program based on what you want to create rather than what your audience is asking for. And this is the big one where I struggled, was that I spent like months making this perfect online program with like so many videos and stuff. It cost me all this money. And then I realized no one watches the program. They just want to talk to you as well.
Right. So I'm noticing that too, right? Like so, I just ran my program. I'm like, y'all didn't watch the modules. I made all of the information. It's there. So what I did now is to close out this year, I'm hosting a challenge with my coaches and they get points for watching the modules. I'm like, you get points for just watching the modules. Yes. Because they really do just want to show up to the coaching calls and have you tell them anyway.
Totally. And that's the funny thing. It always feels like you need to have more and more and more on your offering because it looks great as a value stack of like when you can put it all on a landing page and you've got this program and then these webinars and ebooks and resources and all this stuff. And then you cross the price out and it's a 93% discount. Awesome. But you don't need to do all that at the beginning. You just need to do what you did and what I did, hone those skills, talking, serving, selling, delivering. And then, I suppose that brings me on to another evolution that I was curious about from you is you mentioned that you've raised your prices recently. You mentioned that you've done a few different things. Another post I saw was you saying, be honest about your business hours. Now that's a confidence that doesn't often come in the first year or two. I suppose, what was the shift for you that led you to make decisions like that, when you're being more honest about your business hours, you're raising your prices? How did you get to that point?
People want to skip the step of actually working with enough clients so you can have enough proof in your process to be able to do that. And that's the issue with it. I worked with a lot of clients one-on-one. I now can guarantee that my clients get results, not because I wanted it to say, I can guarantee it or you might. No, I did it because I had enough clients getting those results even before I was guaranteeing it. And then I had a process that I could cross-reference. If you guys do these few things that I'm laying out, you will get those results, right? So at this point, I can say that. And I can say it's worth this much because I know how much my clients continue to make after I teach them these skills. It's not just the time that we work together. It's what they're able to do because I help them lay the foundation of a coaching business that they love and they can do simply. That post specifically, though, about be honest about your coaching hours is more about the people who are starting, who say they want to do this kind of work. They want to be coaches and they're like, I want to grow and I want to hit 100K in this. I'm like, okay, that's wonderful. How much time do you actually have to dedicate every single week without fail? Every single week, how are you willing to show up? And they sometimes underestimate the time that, or they think I can grow this business really fast in this short amount of time and I can show up to my business 2 hours per week. And I'm like, No, if you're going to do 2 hours per week, that's okay. But just be honest that that's all you have to give. And let's talk about what activities actually move the needle forward during those 2 hours per week. Right? Like, let's set realistic
Yeah.
goals. Yeah.
Got it. I think social media is completely to blame for people thinking they can run a business in 2 hours a
Yes.
week because of these 19-year-old influencers who just make shit up and just say that, this is a screenshot from my e-com account or this is a side hustle I've got. And it's nonsense. I feel like any I've managed to reduce my working hours, but now that I've got a team, that's a thing. But I'm not seeing how much anyone can really do in those small amount of hours. But I think that social media sets highly unrealistic expectations for so many people starting businesses, which is.
Extremely. I had a coach literally in my community yesterday. We were coaching, and she said, "Well, I put an ad in the paper, I posted one time on Facebook, and I told 20 people. I thought I'd have three clients by now." I said, "The only thing that's gone wrong is that you had this ridiculous expectation that that was enough to get you clients, and now you know better. That is not. You have to do more. There is more that's required. There's more showing up that's required for you to get those kind of results." And I agree that social media has, especially with the term passive income, people love to throw that around. And I'm like, there's no such thing that it's just passive from the beginning. Everything in the beginning requires your time and effort until you get so good at it that you put systems in place or people in place that then it can run passively for you. But stop buying into this that all of a sudden you're going to buy this thing and within 2 hours of you running that program, you're going to have this passive income business coming in. I'm like, that's just not how it works. So, yeah, being honest about
No, everyone would do it otherwise. Yeah, I've been guilty of that as well. A lot of my clients will come to me and say, "I want to sell a I just want to sell my online course." Like, awesome. How much is it? $1,900. Okay, sweet. What's your sales process? I've got a website. Hell yeah, brother! Like that's a tricky start. And getting a I have to explain to people so much that it's easier to sell a $2,000 product with an hour-long phone call than it is to sell a $7 product without being part of that process, like automatically. And that's been shown over and over again. It can take our clients, well, anyone really, it can take lots and lots of time and testing budget to get a self-fulfilling sort of funnel that starts paying for itself with those low ticket product and then goes into profit. Doesn't happen overnight. And we do that every day. It takes time, you get there. But all these people annoy me so much that even like the guy who started ClickFunnels, which we use ClickFunnels, we love that guy, but he just tells people you start a course, sell it for $97 and boom.
Yes, they
And
make
it's
it
just
sound
not
so
true,
easy. I'm
Jen.
like,
It's
that's
just
just
tricky.
not, there's a lot of gaps. There's a lot of gaps that they're not telling you about. Yeah.
A lot of gaps, but it's cool, and I think it's really good to have people be honest and authentic. And I get a lot of authenticity from you around the process. And I'll tell you another thing I've noticed so much about the way that you provide content. And you're right, you don't put out that much content. You're not, just crushing social media every day, Gary V style. You're doing your thing. It doesn't feel like you use overly coachy language, if you know what I mean.
Yes, coach
Like a
speak.
lot of people talk about coach speak and expect that to work on their clients because they've done an NLP certificate and they think, okay, I'm just going to talk to people about my modality and how I'm a timeline therapy practitioner. And that stuff's all great, but
That doesn't work,
everyday
right?
Rob and Karen on the street don't really get what that means.
Exactly. I was reviewing a client's profile on one of those directories, and I was like, okay, but you have like a lot of coach speak right now. It's like this, like, take your power back now and feel empowered and, transition and journeys. And I'm like, what does that look like on a Tuesday night? What are they struggling with right now? What's their language? How do they describe it? How can you explain what you do for that specific problem? And it took work like to get there and think about, okay, like, this is, again, going back to the experience. I'm thinking about the people I actually work with. What do they say? What are they doing? What are they struggling with? And just putting it in plain language so other people can be like, oh, yeah, I do that, or I felt that, or I've thought that, and can resonate better with it.
Yes. So how do we go about that? Because that's really interesting. So on these coaching directories, they have a profile, like on the podcasting sites, I guess, where it says about what they do and how they, who they work with.
Yep.
What are your recommendations for having a great, you know, profile that resonates and compels an audience?
Make it about that person that you want to help. Speak to that specific person you want to help. Don't make it about you. Even in the about me section in my profile, it's all about them. It's all about their journey and what they're struggling with and how I would support them, how my process takes them from where they are to where they want to be, right? It's plain, simple, clear language. One of the biggest things that really helped me out, I think, really stand out on this directory, has thousands of coaches, biggest one on the worldwide site. I'm somehow made it to the top page, right? Like if you search, like I'm going to be there. And I still get leads all the time from them, is because I had really great testimonials. Even when I first got on there, one of the things that I was really smart about, which, and this is hindsight, of course, that I realized it helped me, was I had testimonials on my own site, but of course people aren't coming to my site. It wasn't like SEO optimized. I'm not blasting. I'm not running ads to it. Like people aren't seeing it. But I asked the people that had written testimonials that were on my site if they could post that same thing that they wrote on my site. If they could just add it here on this new site so that I would have their honest testimonials. I would put it in an email. Hey, I'm on this site. Would you put this testimonial that you gave me? I put the testimonial that they gave me in the same email. So all they have to do is copy and paste it into the box, made it super simple for them to put it there. And then I continued to ask people to post their testimonials on there because I knew more people are going to see it there than they will on my site. Right. And I can just copy it and add it to my site later on. So that was one of the most important things that I did. And then I learned how to use that platform really well. I think this is where people fall short because they think, oh, I'm just on there so people will just magically find me. People do find me, but a lot more people are referred to me, right? Or I'm pitching directly to these people and that's how I get the matches because I learned how to use it effectively. And I know many people who are on there and they're like, it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I'm like, you just don't know how to use it right. Like there's a method of showing up and pitching on this site. So whichever ones you choose to be on, learn what works on that particular platform.
That's very, very true. Very, very true. Because people are always asking us, what's the best, what do you think about LinkedIn ads? Or what do you think about TikTok ads? Or we've not dove much into the directories thing. I have to look into it. But it's mostly that, like, is that where your audience is? Is that, and how do they consume content? And how, so therefore, how do you make for that platform? Because, I mean, I love Gary V, Gary Vaynerchuk, but a lot of the stuff he said 8 years ago around just, you know, 100 pieces of content a week or whatever, and 4 posts on this per day and 4 posts on that and document everything. It's like, dude, relax. No one's going to do this. And one thing he did definitely say, though, was like a post that works on one platform probably won't work on another one. Yeah. So that's overwhelming for a lot of people because they're trying to do everything. But it sounds like what you're doing is just one thing really, really well.
Exactly.
And why not do that? Why not go, as one of my coaches says, inch wide, mile deep, rather than mile wide, inch deep on a bunch of different stuff?
Yeah. And this is why, like, posting on Instagram for me is an afterthought. Like, you'll see those posts somewhere else, and then a few weeks later, I'll be like, oh, let me put a graphic and just put it on. Like, I'm not really, that's not where my people are. Yeah. That's not where they're coming from. LinkedIn works out way better for me. Yeah. So that's what I lean into, and that's kind of what I write for. If you see it somewhere else, cool, great, but I'm not so worried about it. And I love that you said go where your people are because each directory is different, right? There's some directories that lean towards people that are looking for career coaching. I saw that in the one that I was on. I was like, oh, I'll be a career coach. So of course I did really well because I was a match for most of the people that were looking for that thing. There's some that lean more towards executive coaching. So go on those platforms, right? There's some that are more like woo for the metaphysical and, you know, like spiritual. go on those platforms. So just make sure that you're on the one that's right for what you do, where your people will be already, and then just make yourself visible there.
I think that's a really, really cool idea. And very, very sneaky to figure out what people are looking for on that platform, just yes. mold into that, become a bit of a niche chameleon.
Yes, but make sure you can actually help them. Like, have some integrity, y'all. Like, don't just do that. Like, I was able to do it because I actually was someone who had been working since I was 15 and switched jobs all the time. Like, pretty much every year maximum, I lasted in a job was like 2 years before I switched to something else. So I had a lot of experience in the job search, landing jobs and interviewing and negotiating. So I had clients who got amazing results because I knew how to, I knew this process. I was like, yeah, I can totally help you. And I had also done a course on how to structure your resume and everything like that, just to like feel like I was well-rounded, and they got amazing results. So of course, if they got amazing results, the company's happy because I'm making them money. I'm happy because I'm making money. The client's happy because they got the results. They're making money. Everybody wins. So make sure that it's in alignment with what you offer, what you can offer, what the results you get people, the kind of people you want to work with.
Oh, Jen, you're an absolute joy to talk to. You're so
thanks, Alex.
So full of light, and I'm really enjoying listening to you. Everything you say, because I don't know, some people can say things like, I love that I'm making money and they're making money, and come across just kind of like braggy, but I'm not getting that at all from you. I'm getting a true, you know, just desire to serve people, and just money is a beautiful offshoot of that, because it lets you do things like move to Mexico. So I'll close the podcast out this week with things like just asking you, what are you excited about into, you know, coming into the new year, Jen?
Yeah, I'm so excited because this year I finally launched the group program back in May. So I did like my first round with people and we're just finishing up. So I'm ready to do another cohort come January. Super, super excited about that. And I now have decided I'm going to host a monthly webinar. So because I make personal connections with people and that's the way I do it, I want them to feel it. I don't want it to be something that's on evergreen just yet. I really want, I'm all about that personal connection. I hope you're picking up on that. Like, I love talking to people. I want them to have that opportunity to feel my energy and really understand, like, I'm here to support them. So I'm going to be doing it every single month. I'm so excited about it, and enrolling people into the group program or one-on-one. I still have some one-on-one. Just new heights in the business, more travel. Now that I live here and I'm settled after a year of living here, I want to do more travel. That was the whole point, travel within the country, Mexico and outside of the country, and continue serving my clients at a high level. Like, that's, this is work I love doing and I'm excited to do more of it.
Yeah. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. We love a good webinar. So is there a, since you've been living in Mexico, is there a Mexican dish that we probably don't see on international menus that you've fallen in love with that we all need to know about?
That I fall, the food in the Yucatan is different for sure. One thing I did try, and they have many different types of this, is mole. And it's like a brown spice or sauce, I should say. And they, it's like chocolatey based, some of them, but they have some very spicy ones. They have some mild ones. So just, there's so many different ones to try that I'm still exploring all the mole that is here in Mexico. And then I'm going to go to Oaxaca, which is like the, where it's originated from, I think. So I'm going to try some mole over there too.
Amazing.
Yeah.
How that, yeah, it's like a smoky, lots of different chilies, kind of like a stew, with a bit of cacao in it or whatever. Mm-hmm. How good. And Oaxaca is the place that it's spelled with an X at the front, right?
O-X-A-C-A. Yeah.
What a crazy language. I love that. Okay, we adore Mexican food, and but I feel like probably what we get in Australia for the most part is a bit more Texan than
Mexican. Yeah, and I lived in Houston, so it was like a lot of Tex-Mex, so it's different for sure. Yeah.
Which is great. It's, but I think there's something Yeah, a Tex-Mex meal, you feel like a bit like, ugh, and then you can still go dancing after a proper Mexican, you know, ceviche or whatever. I think it's a really cool idea. So I've always got to throw those questions in there when someone's from a fascinating part of the world, because I'm obsessed with food. So as we all are, we are human beings and we need it to live. So Jen Joe, so much fun talking to you today. Thank you so much. We're going to put your links to your while we have said that Jen's socials are a little sporadic sometimes, really good content on there. Honestly, I love the posts that you do are valuable. You're not just posting for the sake of it. Really good content. I enjoyed it. I mean that. We're going to post the social links wherever you're watching or listening to this one. So yeah, Jen, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me. Thank you so much. And I want to invite your listeners, if they want more, to be part of that webinar, to go to jenjoe.com/paying clients, where I'm going to walk you through exactly what you need to be focusing on so you stop wasting time doing the things that don't matter, so you focus on actually serving people, because that's what we got into this work to do. So I'm excited about that. Thanks.
Amazing. Well, that's the link we'll put in the show notes then, paying clients. I love that. Yes. So you don't have a webinar about how to design the perfectly curated Instagram feed or how to align your truest, enlightened, soul abundance power?
No, I'm way more practical and hands-on and about actually doing the work. So no, I'll leave that for other coaches.
Love it. Love it. Yeah, there's some great ones. We work with a few of them. Amazing. Jen Joe, thank you so much for being on the show. Anybody listening, thank you for sticking with us over that brief hiatus that was well and truly needed. And I think we have a couple more shows this year. So if you're watching or listening, we love you so much for that. Thank you so much. I'll be back next week with some more Coaches to the Moon just before Christmas. Until then, thank you so much. Much love and peace out. Thanks, Jen. Hey guys, I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. Thank you so much for sticking around to the end. If you love our guests, then in the show notes of this episode, you can find their socials, you can follow them, you can learn more about all the free resources and programs they've got. I highly recommend you do it. Until then, thank you so much. I'll be back here next week with Coaches to the Moon. Have an amazing day. Peace out.
Coaches to the Moon will be back next week. Until then, reach us on Facebook at To The Moon Digital Marketing.